We've also got a pretty sizable election coming up in 2020. That's going to be a spotlight focusing on North Carolina again, as we're going to have another gubernatorial race, another very high-profile Senate race, and of course the presidential race, where North Carolina will almost certainly be a battleground state. In fact, the candidates are starting to come to North Carolina even now. Beto O'Rourke is going to be in Chapel Hill on Monday, being hosted by the UNC Young Democrats. And of course, there will be many, many more candidate visits as we get closer and closer to the official primary season. Where do things stand as we head into the 2020 election cycle? For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, who is the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website, and you can find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
We got a few polls that are out, one of them specific to North Carolina that High Point just came out with, showing not really head-to-head matchups or anything like that for 2020, but looking ahead to the presidential race and the gubernatorial race, we get a sense of where Donald Trump stands in North Carolina. We get a sense of where Governor Roy Cooper stands as well. So what are we seeing from that survey?
Well, they found that Donald Trump is very unpopular in North Carolina, only a 40% approval rating, 52% disapprove. And that 40% approval rating is actually a little bit lower even than his approval rating nationally. I think these numbers are a little bit low on Trump when you think about the fact that Trump won North Carolina by 4 points, even as he was losing the national popular vote by 2 points in 2016. He's usually about 6 points stronger here than he is in the country as a whole. But even if he's not as unpopular as this poll shows, I do think that he's upside down on his approval in North Carolina. We've tended to find him more in the -4, -5 range as opposed to the -12 that this poll found. But certainly, I do think that he's underwater here. And I think that if Trump is underwater in North Carolina, that means that North Carolina is once again a swing state for president. It's been a couple months now since we did a poll in North Carolina testing Trump against a bunch of his potential Democratic opponents. But when we did do one, the average margin was a 1-point Democratic lead. So I definitely think that North Carolina is headed for being likely one of the closest states in the country next year, just as it was in 2008 and 2012, and to a slightly lesser extent in 2016.
And that's compared to kind of the national polls, where I'm seeing Trump trailing just pretty much every Democratic opponent by, what, 5 points, 6 points, up to 8 points or more, depending on who the Democratic candidate is and how much name recognition they have, right?
Yeah, I think that North Carolina continues to be not necessarily the state that's going to make the difference between whether somebody gets 270 electoral votes or not, but it is sort of more of an icing on the cake state. If Democrats win North Carolina, they already won the election elsewhere. Mm-hmm. If Republicans win North Carolina, they still have to win in some tougher states like Florida and Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Arizona to win the whole shebang. So I don't know that we're necessarily going to be a tipping point state next year, where whoever wins North Carolina wins the whole thing. But I do think that we're likely to be a very competitive state again. And I think that one thing that probably both sides learned from 2016 is that you need to have multiple paths to 270 electoral votes. You don't necessarily want to throw all your eggs in one basket in terms of a path to getting a majority of the electoral vote. So I certainly think that North Carolina is part of a potential path to victory for either side.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, so that's where things stand on the presidential side in North Carolina. How about the gubernatorial side? How about Roy Cooper?
Roy Cooper continues to hold up decently well. He has a 41% approval rating in this poll. 30% of voters disapprove of him. And that +11 net approval spread is really relatively consistent with where most polling has shown him so far in 2019. We generally find him in the sort of +7 or 8 to +14 or 15 range. And I think that other polling has sort of found him in that same general direction as situation as well. I think that makes him a modest favorite for reelection. And the reality is that in North Carolina politics these days, there's probably no such thing as anybody being a strong favorite for reelection, because so many of our statewide races now are getting decided by 1 or 2 points either way. Sometimes Democrats win, sometimes Republicans win, but it's very rarely by a particularly large margin because the state is just so divided right down the middle right now. So we found on a poll that we did in January that Cooper had a 12-point lead over Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest for re-election, but Forrest didn't have very high name recognition. When we tested Cooper in a rematch against Pat McCrory, who, of course, they effectively tied in 2016, we found Cooper with a 4-point lead over McCrory. And that seems to me like about where Cooper would lead against a Republican once that person's well known and has won the nomination and all of that. I think he probably starts out favored by 5 or 6 points for reelection, which certainly isn't a landslide margin, but it is more than most recent high intensity elections in North Carolina have been decided by because we are so closely split.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. So that's where things stand in North Carolina. Let's go nationally and take a look at the Democratic primary race, where, again, there are dozens now of Democrats who have either declared or are talking about potentially declaring. So it's a really, really crowded race right now. But we're starting to see some kind of breakaway with a few candidates in particular kind of emerging, at least right now, at the top of the polls. And this is starting to be pretty consistent across the country, at least in some of the key battleground states. We've got a survey from Monmouth that's in Ohio and a survey from St. Anselm College in New Hampshire. What are we seeing in terms of the numbers from those two kind of key primary states?
Well, it's a pretty similar story in both states. Both of them have Joe Biden in first place and Bernie Sanders in second place. And really, when you look at Democratic polling for 2020, going all the way back to 2016, when we did a poll 1 month after the 2016 election ended, that's pretty much what the situation has been, is Biden first, Bernie second. So the new Iowa poll has Biden at 27% to 16% for Sanders. The new New Hampshire poll has Biden at 23% to 16% for Sanders. But what's really interesting is who's at third place in both of those polls. And that's South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's really sort of taken off in the last month. I think you would say that he's probably the first candidate who's really caught fire in sort of a surprising fashion. So he's in third place in the Iowa poll with 9%. He's in third place in the New Hampshire poll with 11%. He's somebody who a month or two ago wasn't even getting included in all of the polls. If somebody was putting together a poll and sort of thinking about it in terms of who are the major candidates, he was not viewed as one of those major candidates. And he's really sort of put himself up into that higher tier of the race. And then in these two states, nobody else is in double digits. You see Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and Beto O'Rourke sort of as the next tier. Warren and Harris are at 7%, and O'Rourke's at 6% in Iowa. Warren's at 9%, Harris is at 7%, and O'Rourke's at 6% in New Hampshire. But none of them really are catching fire the way that Buttigieg is. And then, of course, Biden and Sanders have been the best-known candidates in the field on the national scene for a long time. So it's not surprising in that context that they continue to lead the way.
The candidates who are not on that kind of top six list, and it is really interesting, in Iowa and New Hampshire, it is the same top six in the exact same order: Biden, then Sanders, then Buttigieg, then Warren, then Harris, then O'Rourke. And then you've got all of the other candidates that aren't really polling very well at all, including some Cory Booker is one, Amy Klobuchar is another, who kind of started out as a little bit more high profile and haven't really caught on, at least not yet. How far into this year do we go before some of those candidates that aren't really resonating in the polls and aren't seeing their candidacies take off need to start thinking about dropping out?
Well, my personal advice would be, it's so early, I don't think anybody should think about dropping out for another 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And certainly when we start having the debates over the summer, that's going to give some of the candidates who aren't doing that well right now an opportunity to sort of work themselves back up into the top tier. But I definitely think if you want to talk about somebody who's maybe had the most disappointing candidacy so far, I think that would be Cory Booker. Mm-hmm. In addition to having these sort of poor poll numbers, only 3% in Iowa, only 4% in New Hampshire, He also only raised $5 million, which maybe on the surface doesn't sound that bad, but Buttigieg, with no previous national profile, managed to raise $7 million. Harris managed to raise $12 million. O'Rourke and Sanders managed to raise even more than that. So Booker so far has been sort of a disappointment on both the fundraising front and on the polling front, but it's way too early. There's so many times over the course of 2003 where we would have talked about how maybe John Kerry should just hang it up. And of course, he ended up coming from behind and winning the Democratic nomination. At this time, 4 years ago, Bernie Sanders was an asterisk in the polls and ended up almost fighting Hillary Clinton to a 50-50 finish. So I definitely think, even though there's clearly some people who are catching on better than others, it's too early for anybody to panic too much.
I do at some point in my life want to get to the point where I raise $5 million, and that's a disappointment, right?
That's true, and it shows how much the standards have changed.
Absolutely. Again, publicpolicypolling.com for more numbers from PPP, and you can find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.